One of the things that I've come to appreciate about the book of Titus in our study here is the connection that Paul makes with living out your beliefs. It's a very practical type book for you and I, making the beliefs that we profess inside this building, inside this room, a part of our everyday lives, something that we take with us when we're at work, when we're in our offices, whether it be at school, out on the football field as we're playing games. We need to take those things with us, and I love how Titus encourages us to do that. Some of that practice, what you preach type mentality, and I love that. And with this morning's passage, if you were here with us for Bible class, we've been encouraged to be good citizens of the country, of the town that we live in, to submit to authority. And I have to admit that those are things that I struggle with sometimes, because it seems like the authorities in our governments, etc., aren't always very easy to submit to, are they, sometimes? Because it seems like they take advantage and abuse their power an awful lot, doesn't it? That they don't necessarily practice what they preach, what they claim to believe. And with that thought in mind, I want to take you to a place. It is called the Sidi Bouzid. It is in southern Tunisia. It was early morning, last December 17th. Muhammad Bouazizi was selling vegetables from his cart in the market. It was a normal day for the chief breadwinner of this family. He helped feed his family, extended family of eight, actually. It was a typical day for him as he's selling his vegetables until he encounters a particular police officer. She seized his cart and everything on it because he was operating without a license. And having had this happen to him before, Muhammad attempted to pay the 10 dinar fine, which is about a day's worth of wages, only to have the policewoman slap him in the face, spit in his face, and insult his dead father. And when he went to the provincial headquarters to make a complaint, he was denied an audience with the people there and with the leaders. And so he left, only to return a few minutes later. And all of this happens within the span of an hour. He's back there in front of the gates of the provincial headquarters there. He proceeds to pour some sort of flammable liquid all over himself and to light it on fire. And on January 4th, in a hospital near Tunis, the capital, he died. And this was the subtle beginnings of what's become known around the world as the Arab Spring, a movement across North Africa and the Middle East that has seen three dictators who have ruled their countries ruthlessly for the past several decades be overthrown. For the people here in Tunisia, it took just a matter of weeks. And oddly enough, we were there right in the middle of it all. And that was a scary thing to have knowledge of when you get back. And I'm like, wow, that was going on while we were there. And for the people of Egypt as well, it took a couple of weeks. And more recently, we've seen the fall of Mr. Gaddafi after 8 months of total civil war. All of the terrible news stories that we've heard from these conflicts the last several months, the tremendous loss of life, all because a few men in positions of God-given authority chose to abuse it. Men in positions with the power and authority to do a huge amount of good for a huge number of people. And instead of using their power for the good, they chose to rule their people with an iron fist. And it's easy for us as Americans to sit in this building today and try to isolate those incidents and say, oh, that's just something that happens over there. People who take advantage, those are just people who live over there, and that's the way they live. But you and I see people who take advantage and abuse their authority and power here in this country, in this city, every single day of the week, don't we? We see people who embezzle money from their employers. We see people CEOs and owners of companies who embezzle money from their own companies. We see bosses that use their power to get advantage from female employees. We see coaches and teachers taking advantage and using their authority over teens, and the list goes on and on, doesn't it? This morning, as we've talked about, we've been studying these verses that give us insight into what it means to be good citizens of countries and of cities like this, what it means to be a good follower of the authorities around us. But this morning, I want to take a few minutes and think about what it means to be a godly leader. After all, godly leaders are one of the loose ends that Titus has been left here on the island of Crete to tie up. Titus as a whole is talking to us about doing good things, encouraging us to live the lives that we profess to believe on Sunday mornings. The world around us wants to believe that the ones who rise up to power, the ones who are our leaders, are the best of the best. They're the best at playing the game in this dog-eat-dog world, as we call them. Have you ever wondered why shows like Survivor were so popular? I never could understand that, and I guess it still is popular. I saw a commercial for it just last night. I was always confused by the idea of the game, because I'm thinking, if we call something Survivor, shouldn't it be about surviving in the great outdoors? You know, being able to live off the land? And that really doesn't have anything to do with what the show is about. It's about playing the game. That game of deception, a little bit better than the next person in your tribe. It's all about who can lie, cheat, and manipulate better than anybody else. And this is the stuff that's put on our TVs for us to watch in prime time. This is the stuff that you and I are supposed to be emulating in our lives. This is where our leaders of today and tomorrow are learning how to lead, are learning the things that they're supposed to do. And what a bunch of trash. I mean, I can't even watch Survivor anymore. Christian leaders and leaders of the church are supposed to be better than that, aren't we? But so often, even Christians get caught up in the game, don't they? How many times do we read about a church leader somewhere taking advantage of his position and authority, whether it be taking money from the collection in the church treasury or taking advantage of a female member or even a teenager when it comes to youth ministers sometimes? You see, for whatever reason, people in positions of authority become like the rulers of the Gentiles that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 20. That was our scripture reading, and also recorded again in Mark chapter 10, where he says, "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around. And when people get a little bit of power, how quickly it goes to their head." And that's the way it goes, it seems, doesn't it? When we get a little bit of power, we like to throw our weight around because we think we're important. We think that we've got something going for us that nobody else does. We let it go to our heads because somehow we've convinced ourselves that being in a position of authority makes us better than everybody else that is around us. This morning, I want us to remember just exactly what a godly leader looks like, whether it be at work or at church. Let's read Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and they're here on the screen for you. It says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone." Did you hear that? That's powerful stuff, isn't it? Let's read it one more time. "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, and to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone." Yes, this is instructions towards you and I when it comes to living under authority, but I think this can also be turned around and this can be instructions to those people that are in authority. Those people that we are supposed to be subject to, just because they're in authority doesn't make them any different than you and I. Do you see that? That they have the responsibility to do these things listed in these verses, just like you and I have the same responsibility to do these things. These leaders, these godly leaders, are subject. They're to be subject to the rulers and authorities, and that begs the question, well, aren't they in charge? Aren't they the rulers and authorities? Who do they have to submit to? And Don talked about it again this morning. If you know anything about business in the business world, in the world in general, that there is everybody answers to somebody, no matter how high up on the chain of command you might be. In Romans chapter 13, we learn that all authority comes from God. All of the authority that you and I will ever have in our lives comes from God. And we have two choices. We can take that authority and we can use it for the good of the people that are around us, or we can abuse that authority. And when we find ourselves abusing that authority, very quickly, we'll see that God has the power to take that authority away from us. We're to be subject to God. Number two, they're also, there it is, to be obedient. To follow the teachings of Jesus, to defend them unquestionably. To be Jesus to everyone that's here on earth. To be Jesus to the people here on earth. To model it for you and I, so that we can be better followers of Him ourselves. To be subject, to be obedient, and also to do what is good. Leaders and rulers, they're here to be servants, aren't they? For some reason, we think that when we're in positions of authority, that somehow that makes us exempt from service. That we don't have to do all that other stuff that we used to do before, because now we have the power, we have the authority. We can let everybody else take care of that service stuff. We don't need to do that. But one of the coolest things that I've ever seen is CEOs and bosses, the people high up on the chain that are willing to come down and live with the common folk, to work with the common people. Have you ever seen that? Do you watch the show Undercover Boss? This has become one of my favorite shows. It's where the CEO of a company goes. He disguises himself and he goes out into one of my favorites was 7-Eleven. The 7-Eleven guy came out and he went to several different 7-Elevens doing different lowly type jobs that most people, CEOs, would never come down and do. And in each show you find, I mean, these guys' eyes are open to what's really going on, because it's so easy to become blind to those things as we sit up in our towers and on our thrones and dictate to people what it is that they need to be doing for us. When you actually go out and you experience and you serve with these people, your eyes are opened. But at the end of every show, when they're sitting there and they're talking to the employees that person worked with for the day, one of the things that you hear over and over and over again is, I just can't believe that he would come down, that he would do something like that, that he would have come down and worked with me. You know, that's something that makes you feel special. And that's something I think that God values very highly in his leaders, is someone who is there, who's ready to serve. So godly leaders are subject, they're obedient, they're servants, but they're also, one of the negatives here is that they don't slander. They don't talk negatively about anybody. Very rarely do you see one of the CEOs from that TV show come back and talk negatively about the people that he was around. They don't slander. They don't talk bad about people, whether it's to their face or behind their backs when they're in their own little leadership meetings. They're peaceable and they're considerate, as we read there. There's other versions that say that they don't quarrel, they don't fight amongst themselves. And of all the people, I mean, Christians are supposed to be able to get along, aren't they? And for some reason, I don't know why, it seems like we just can't do it sometimes. We can't figure out how to get along. This peaceable and considerate of each other is, it's hard for us to grasp. We wear our emotions on our sleeves, and maybe that's where this last thing comes in, where it tells us that we're supposed to be gentle. Sometimes as leaders, we become harsh. We become a little bit calloused to the things that are around us. We forget what examples we are and how people look to us for direction. And I think that we need to remember all of the times that Jesus could have punished the scribes and the Pharisees that he was debating with. Even as he was hanging on the cross, we sing the song as he could have called 10,000 angels to get him off that cross and destroy this world. And he didn't do it. In Scripture, he is described as the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, and not the lion, is he? We're to be peaceable and considerate and to be gentle. And I love those words. Everything that embodies a good leader is someone who can get along with everybody, who's going to treat everybody equally, who is going to be gentle with everyone that is around. This is the picture of a godly leader that we're presented with throughout Scripture. Nowhere do we find any positive picture of someone who throws their weight around or lets power go to their head. In fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew and Mark both that it's not going to be that way with you. That whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. And I love the way that that reads from that particular version. Did you hear that? As leaders, we're to be servants first. And so many times we get that backwards. We live our lives and treat other people like they're here to serve us. And Scripture tells us that that's just not the way that it is. I know today you're probably sitting there in your pew wondering, how on earth does a sermon about leaders apply to me? Because you're not in any position of authority in the church or in your workplace. And if you're sitting there thinking that this morning, you're wrong. Because as followers of Christ who has risen from the dead, we've all been placed in positions of authority. Did you know that? We're here on this earth to be living examples of Jesus in our everyday lives. As we go to our jobs, as we go to our community centers, as we go to the gym, as we go to school, we're to be Jesus to everybody that we come into contact with. Every day of our lives, we need to be ready to be subject, to be obedient, to be servants, to not slander, to be peaceable and considerate and gentle with everybody that we come into contact with. It's such a heavy responsibility, isn't it? But it's what has been given to you and I. Because Jesus, the one that we claim to follow, came to this earth to serve, not to be served. I don't know what your life looks like this morning, but if this is not a portrait of it, I think it's time to make that right. It's time to make that change. If you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, or if we can pray with you about anything at this time, we ask that you come as we stand and